It's good to be in church today. Amen. You must be born again.
Amen.
That's the message from that song. That's the message from the lips of Jesus Christ to Nicodemus. And that's the message still today after 2,000 years. Amen. It's still the same message. Isn't it good that God doesn't change His message and change His mind and flip-flop back and forth? Churches do that. Churches have done that down through the ages. They set up their doctrines. They set up their whatever they do. And after a few years, they change that. And one pastor leaves, another pastor comes in, and they change things around. And it can be extremely frustrating, not only to people, but I wonder sometimes how frustrating it is to the Lord. That His message is being changed. We need to preach the same message that was preached 2,000 years ago, and then getting into the Old Testament, let's go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 and continue that message today, too. But I want to bring up something here we're going to see. I can tell you've been sitting way too long, so let's stand as we read the Word of God together. I'll read it out loud. You don't have to read it out loud. You just follow along in Matthew 22. If you're physically able to stand, please do so. If not, don't worry about it, but follow along, please. As I read, picking up in verse 23 and reading several verses here. Matthew 22:23. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now, there were with us seven brethren. And the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the men, of the seven, for they all had her? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. But when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, The son of David. He saith unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Sounds to me like he put them in their place. Father, bless the message. Use it for your honor and for your glory. Touch hearts right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There are so many messages in this little passage. We didn't read the whole chapter. We just read a small portion of this chapter. There are so many different messages here. We're not going to look at all of them, but Jesus said in verse 29, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures. These were somewhat religious people. These were people that should have known the scriptures. Matter of fact, Jesus went right back and used the scriptures against what they had asked him. Because he says in verse 31, have ye not read? Didn't you read? You say you believe, or you say you know all of these things. You come up to me with these questions, and you don't even know what you're talking about. You have no clue what it's stated in the Old Testament. And of course, Jesus answers them. He answered everything that they asked him about throughout this. But I love it when Jesus responds with a question. Doesn't respond with accusations. He doesn't, yell and scream at them and zap them with his godly zap. He doesn't do that. He just simply asks the question back to make them think. to make them think about what they had just said or what they were believing or what they were doing in their lives. Jesus had an amazing ability to do that. As the lawyer approached him, it's almost like the Pharisees, the Bible says the Pharisees were gathered together and they were trying to come up with questions that they could trip up the Lord. You can't trip up the Lord. You can't trip up God. You can ask him the hardest question that you can know and he's going to have an answer for it just like that. You can't trip up God. They didn't recognize him as God. Obviously, they thought they were just tripping up this man. But Jesus always came back with a tremendous question or a great answer for what they were asking. He says in verse 42, he says, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" Now, they answered him correctly. They said the son of David. But they didn't really know who the son of David was. They didn't really know who the Messiah was. They knew the Messiah was coming. They knew that the Messiah, Christ, meaning Messiah, they knew that Christ was coming. They knew that from the Old Testament. The Pharisees knew that when they were gathered together there in verse 41. I can almost see it. They're huddled there, like on a football field. They're all huddled around. They're trying to figure out what to do. And Jesus walks right up to them. He walks right up to them. Maybe he gets in the midst of their huddle and he asks them a question. "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" And of course, they are kind of astounded with this, but they answer. They answer correctly. The Christ, the Messiah, is the son of David. And so he goes through this little dissertation from Psalm 110 and verse 1, and he gets them to the point where they have no idea how to answer him. Amen. They did not want to admit that Jesus standing in front of him was the Son of God. Amen. They did not want to admit that he was the Son of David. Amen. They did not want to admit that he was the Messiah. They did not want to admit that he was the Christ. However, standing in front of them was the Christ, Amen. Was the Messiah, was the Son of God, was the Son of David. He is the answer to all the prophecies of the Old Testament. Amen. He is the answer to everything. He is the creator of the universe.
Amen.
Right. So let me ask you a question here today. What think ye of Christ? What do you think of Christ? What do you think of Christ? Bob, what do you think of Christ? I'm going to put some of you on the spot.
I think Christ is all.
I'm sorry.
He's all.
He's all. Okay? What do you think of Christ, Doug?
My Savior.
Your Savior. Paul, what do you think of Christ?
Love.
Terry, what do you think of Christ?
Everybody.
Okay. Jim, what do you think of Christ?
Awesome.
Huh?
Awesome.
Awesome. Good. TJ, what do you think of Christ?
Love.
Love? Kirk?
He's everything. If it wouldn't be for him, we wouldn't be here.
Amen. Judd, what do you think of Christ?
Well, honesty, great, holiness.
David, what do you think of Christ?
The great I am.
See, it just goes on. Brennan, what think ye of Christ? Amen. Amen. You're all right, by the way. Phil, what do you think of Christ? Amen. Amen. Every answer is correct. What think ye of Christ? When you think of the word think, what do you think of? You're thinking. Your mind is working. Do you know that God gave us an amazing brain, an amazing mind? He gave us the ability to think things. He gave us the ability to be able to comprehend things. He gave us the ability to have wisdom, to have that knowledge, but also to have the wisdom to know how to operate knowledge. A lot of people have knowledge, but no wisdom. And you can't have any wisdom without the knowledge. Now, wisdom is simply taking knowledge that you know and putting it all into practice. That's basically what wisdom is. God gave us the ability to do that. He gave us the ability to think. And yet these Pharisees weren't thinking. These Sadducees weren't thinking about God. The Lord looks at them right in their eyeballs and says, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" I want us to think about that today for the next 20 minutes or so. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Everyone in the world has probably heard of Jesus Christ in some way. Maybe not everybody. Maybe that far out, island in the Pacific where there's still headhunters. Maybe they've never heard of Jesus Christ. But most everybody in the world, 7.5 billion people, most everybody has heard of Jesus Christ in some way. maybe not as God, maybe it's never been preached to them as that, but everyone in the world has probably heard of Jesus Christ. Our calendar is dated based on Jesus Christ. His name is used blasphemous all over the world. Boy, that bothers me to hear his name blasphemed. It should bother every born-again, true born-again child of God. It should bother you when you hear the name, the name of God, the name of Jesus Christ blasphemed. It should bother you. And no Christian should ever use his name in a blasphemous way. You need to be careful how you use the name Jesus Christ. You need to be careful how you use the name God. You need to be careful on how you use the name the Holy Spirit. You need to be careful how you use God's name. It doesn't really matter what you think of others, even though it does a little bit. What really matters is what do you think of Christ? That's what really matters with every human being. I made a list of this. It's the 10 most famous or infamous people that has been in history, ranked according to the Google searches and the approximate number of books written by them. I'll give them from 10 down to 1. Number 10, Sir Isaac Newton. Number 9, Leonardo da Vinci. You've heard of these. Number 8, William Shakespeare. Number 7, Adolf Hitler. He's infamous, not famous.
Right.
Number 6, Paul the Apostle. Number 5, Buddha. Number 4, Moses. Number 3, Abraham. Number 2, Muhammad. And the number 1 name ever Googled is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is well known far beyond any human being in this world.
Amen.
What think ye of Christ? Well, he's the Son of God. He is the Son of God. I want us to look at some of these individuals in the New Testament. We're just going to be in the New Testament today, and we're going to look at some of these individuals, and we're going to find out what did they say about Christ? What did they think about Christ? I just asked some of you, and you rattle off one word or maybe a couple, three words to try to describe or not describe. We can't describe God. Very difficult to describe God. But you can tell people what you think about God. You can tell people how you think and how you perceive how God is to you personally. You can't tell them how God is to them, because that's between them and God. But you can tell somebody that God is to me, God is love. God is my Savior. We heard some of these. God is the creator of the universe. God is my God. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We can go through all of that. This is how we think about Jesus Christ. But I want us to look at some of his enemies and see what they have to say about Jesus Christ. Go over to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15. Do you know they tried and tried and tried in vain to come up with things that they could accuse the Lord of? They ended up accusing him of some things. They accused him of blasphemy, and they sentenced him to death based upon the Roman government's view of that, that the Jews could not put anybody to death at this particular time, but they could certainly encourage the Romans to do that, which the Romans, I think, did it without any problem. But let's see what they have to say. Look at verses 1 and 2 of Luke chapter 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Publicans and sinners are coming to hear Christ. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You know, I wrote in my wide margin Bible, great big capital letters, amen, exclamation point. That's what I wrote. I'm so glad that this is what the Pharisees and scribes said about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This man receiveth sinners and he eateth. He eats with them. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that he received sinners? Because if you're saved, he received you.
Amen.
If you're not saved yet, he can still receive you.
That's right.
But you need to trust him. You need to humble yourself and ask him to forgive you of your sins. Acknowledge that he died for your sins. Shed his blood for you, ask him to forgive you of your sins, and then to save your soul. But this is what they said. The Pharisees said that this man, he eats, he receives sinners and eats with them. That is a tremendous honor. That is a compliment. That is a view that the Pharisees had I think the Pharisees knew more than they really wanted to admit. Because they said that he receives sinners. He eats with the sinners and publicans. However, we're discussing in Sunday school, our Sunday school lesson is on humility. Humility is the opposite of pride. See, the Pharisees were filled with pride. Sadducees and the scribes are all filled with pride. They were better than everybody else around them. The Jews, basically, even the apostles were filled with pride when they looked down their nose at the Samaritans and the Gentiles and other people. But the Pharisees made a very interesting statement when he made this statement here that he receives sinners and eats with them. I am so glad. That word, that little phrase, and eats with them, you know what that means? Fellowship. Fellowship. Thank God he received me and he wants to have fellowship with me every day of my life. And he wants to have fellowship with you every day of your life. Aren't you glad for that? The creator of the universe, the God of the universe, would like to have fellowship with you. Let that kind of sit there and marinate for a moment in your heart and in your mind. The God of the universe would like to fellowship with you. Talk with you. Hear what's on your heart. Listen to you talk to him. Isn't that a blessing? And when we read his word every day, and we as Christians should be reading his word every day, when we read his word, he speaks to us. He speaks to our heart. He speaks to our thoughts. He speaks to our feelings. He speaks to everything about us. And so that's the greatness of God. This is one of the greatest compliments given to the Son of God by lost Pharisees. This is what what think ye of Christ? This is what they told us. This is who Jesus is. He receives sinners and he eats with them. He actually likes to be around sinners. Now, in a saved position, you know, after they get saved, he'd sit down with them first and eat with them, and they would trust him. They would come to him. They'd receive him as their Lord and Savior, and then he could have that true fellowship with them. Remember, you can't have good fellowship with the Lord before salvation. You can talk to him, you can pray to him, but you need to be saved in order to have fellowship with him on a regular basis. Go over to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. What else? Look what the chief priests made a comment here in Matthew 27 and verse 38. Matthew 27 and verse 38. Matthew chapter 27, verse 38. Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him." He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now. If he will have him, for he said, "I am the Son of God." Here's the little interesting phrase that I want to point out in verse 40. He saved others. He saved others. Now, they were mocking him. Hey, he saved others. Why can't he save himself? Listen, he was nailed to the cross for our sins, my sins and your sins. Those nails were deep into his body. What we have done, as I said in Sunday school, you have a pride problem and you fight with that every day. Go to the foot of the cross every day as you deal with that pride issue. And look at why he was hanging there on the cross. He was hanging there for your pride and my pride. He was hanging there for my sin and your sin. And so the chief priests make this little statement. He saved others. That's exactly right. Was Jesus willing to save them? Yeah. Amen. Could he have saved them? Yes. Can he save anybody? Yeah. Yes. They have to want to be saved. The chief priest made that statement. He saved others. Listen, Luke 19 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus said that, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Hebrews 7:25, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." The Lord is willing and able to save anybody to the uttermost. Amen. Yeah, he saved others, and Pharisees, he's willing to save you if you just bow your head and and humble yourself and realize that you're a sinner, right along with the publicans and the harlots and everybody else around that flocked to Jesus, because they realized that he could save them. They realized he was their only hope. The Pharisees were trusting in their religion. They were trusting in their own ways. Romans 5:6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's you and me. The ungodly. Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What a promise. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul says. So I'm the chief sinner around here. That is a humbling thing to think about, that you are the chief sinner. Paul made that statement. You and I might say or disagree with Paul and say, no, Paul, I don't see you as a chief sinner. But Paul was recognizing his comparison with himself to God and realized that he was. He was just a sinner saved by grace. That's what you and I are. Go over to your stair there, Matthew. Just go back a page or two to Matthew 26:57. 26:57. 26:57, and then we'll drop down and read verse 63 through verse 65, just for the sake of time. Matthew 26:57. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Drop down to verse 61. And said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said unto him, look at this, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. This is what Jesus is saying. When they said, listen, I adjure thee by the living God, tell us, are you the Christ, the Son of God? What does he say? He responds and says, that's what you say.
Yeah.
That's what you say. You just said that. You said that about me. He just put it right back on. Thou hast said, that's what you have said. And so Caiaphas, the high priest, the president of the Sanhedrin, considered the supreme Jewish leader of this amazing court, this Jewish court of justice, he actually was saying that, yet, yeah, Jesus, you are the Son of God. That's what Jesus was saying. Go over to Luke 23, verse 4. How about Pilate? What did Pilate say about Jesus? Luke 23:4. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. Oh, Pilate, you're a pretty smart guy. And he was a pretty smart guy. Saying, I can't find anything wrong with this man. You brought him to me to judge him. You brought him to me. You keep yelling that you want him crucified. You want us to kill him. But I can't find anything worth killing him over. I find nothing wrong with him. I find no fault in this man. He searched and he dug and he tried to find as much as he could, and he couldn't find anything. He couldn't find any dirt on Jesus Christ. Because he's God. He's perfect. Bar candidates today, they're just slinging all kinds of stuff back and forth. Some of it's true and some of it's not true. There's always a little truth they'll pull from the past of the candidate, and they'll throw that, and then they'll expound on it, and they'll blow it all up and make it. Then they start throwing some other things. Since they threw a little truth out there about so-and-so, then they can throw a lie out there and people believe the lie. That's how they work. That's just something, you know, I hate to say it, that's politics. They'll just slam everybody. As long as there's a little truth there, they'll believe that. Oh, yeah, I know, I heard that. That's true. And then when they throw a lie, they'll say, oh, yeah, I believe that too. And so people today, so many today, even in this political atmosphere, are believing lies about the various candidates. There's a little sign right down the road, you know, truth over lies, vote for Biden. Do you know anything about Joe Biden? Please, I can't get political right now. I don't want to. I want to, but I can't. I can't do that. I mean, we know things about both candidates. Let's move on. But Pilate says, I find nothing wrong with him. I find no fault in him. We'll go over to Matthew 27 in verse 19. Matthew 27, verse 19. Pilate made that statement, I find no fault in him. What did Mrs. Pilate have to say about Jesus Christ? You know, she threw in her 2 cents. Look at Matthew 27, look at verse 19. And when he was set down on a judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. What is she saying? She called him a just man. This is Pilate and Mrs. Pilate. Both of them realized this is somebody different than the normal people that come to me all the time to be judged. I find no fault in him. This is a just man, Mrs. Pilate said. And she had this dream that really upset her. And she was taken back by that. But she realized, and I think all of the individuals, everybody we're going to look at here, realize that Jesus Christ was a sinless Son of God. They made the statements, but they didn't see it. Does that make sense? They made the statements. They all made these various statements, but they just didn't see it with a spiritual eye. Their spiritual eyes were blinded, darkened to the truth, even though they made these statements. And I would hope and pray that even after the resurrection, many of them got saved. I don't know. We don't know. Hebrews 4:15 says this, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Christ has suffered every kind of temptation that you and I have suffered. Every temptation that you've ever been tempted with, Jesus Christ, I think, has been 1,000 times manifold more.
Amen.
Because the devil was constantly after him to try to get him to do something to destroy his credibility. Mark chapter 5. Mark 5. So the Pharisees, the chief priests, the scribes, Caiaphas, the high priest, Pilate, the governor, and his wife. Look at Mark chapter 5 and verse 7. How about the devils? What does the devil, Satan himself, knows, but what do the other devils say about Christ? And look at in Mark chapter 5 and verse 7, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. This is the devils speaking out of this man of Gadara that had a legion. He had a legion of devils within him. You know the story probably how he just spent his time in the tombs. He cut himself and no man could tame him. Nobody could do anything to this man. So they throw him off to the tombs. He loved living around dead things. He loved living around dead people. I saw somebody in some store the other day and on there, you know, everybody's got a face mask now, right? Everybody's got a face mask now. If you didn't notice that, then you're blind. We went to the windmill yesterday, and what I was doing is I was noticing face masks, because everybody has to have their own personalized face mask. Well, this one face mask had this ugly skull right on it. There are some people that like to be around dead things.
Yeah.
Skulls, you know, I don't go along with that myself. I don't have skulls hanging in my car, my truck. I don't have skulls all over the office. I've got one skull in there, and that's a deer mount. That's the only skull I have is a deer mount, and that wasn't even my deer mount. You know the story about me. I've never shot a deer in my life. Why do you have to always comment on that? You're 10 years older than me. But that was my uncle's. Deer mount in there. So as you go by and look at it, Pastor got a deer. No, Pastor's an idiot. Pastor's He can't do that right. He can't hunt right. You know, Jim, I love you as a brother in Christ, so I'm not going to say anything back to you. Plus, I'm being recorded right now. I'll talk to you later. James said in James 2:19, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." You know, the devils know who Jesus Christ is. Yet all these humans running around have no clue who he is, could care less who he is. I'll tell you what, these devils that were about ready to be cast out of this man, they knew who he was. They recognized Jesus Christ immediately. Immediately, as soon as Christ came out of the ship and was walking towards that cemetery, that man with all of those legion of devils, they immediately said, "Uh-oh, there's the Son of God. We're in trouble now." Right? Don't do this. Don't torment us. They knew when they saw him walking towards that cemetery, they were in trouble. And yet we have countless people today that can be even preached online or preached in person and still walk away and ignore the Word of God and ignore Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And so all of these enemies of Christ all said positive things about him. Even though they tried to come up with negative things about him, they ended up saying positive things about him. They actually conferred with Scripture as to who Jesus was. Isn't that something? Now let's look at some of the friends of Jesus. What did they say about him? Look at John the Baptist. Now, go over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John the Baptist was not only a friend of the Savior, he was his cousin. He was related. And look what he says in verse 29. John 1, verse 29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." This is the first mention of Lamb in the New Testament. And John is making a statement. This is the Lamb of God. John knew that Jesus was the Passover Lamb. He understood that this Lamb was going to be a sacrifice. He not only said it once, he said it again in verse 36. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." He was turning people to Christ. So John the Baptist literally says that he is the Lamb of God. Look at verse 34. John 1:34, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Not only is he the Lamb of God, but he's the Son of God. John the Baptist is telling us that. Of course, Christ had an amazing testimony of John the Baptist, didn't he? In Matthew chapter 11, we don't have time to read the whole thing, but in verse 11, Matthew 11:11, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Jesus said, there's not a greater born of woman than John the Baptist. That ought to humble every one of us men that think that we're something. Jesus said, John the Baptist has been the greatest ever born of women. Other than, of course, himself, Jesus Christ. But he was God. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Look at verse 16. Matthew 16:16. Matthew 16, look at verse 16. Peter was one of the most colorful apostles that there was. Do you ever just kind of do a little study of all of the apostles and see the differences within the apostles? Peter, James, and John, and Judas, even Judas Iscariot. You see, they're all different. They all have different characteristics. But Peter would probably be, and I think that most people would agree, that Peter is probably one of the most colorful of all of the 12 apostles that Jesus handpicked for himself. And I believe that Jesus did that for a reason, for a purpose, to see the diversity among his own people. Just like we here in this church have a tremendous diversity of people. We have people that are, you know, very quiet, and reserved. And then we have people that are noisy and boisterous, and we have all kinds of different people within our congregations, not just this, but any congregation. And so the Lord chose these people, and Peter was one of the most flowery, I guess, or one of the most strange of all of them. He was always, it seemed like he was always putting his foot in his mouth everywhere he went. Everything he said, he's like me. Peter, just call yourself an idiot and get it over with, right? He's an idiot. I mean, he said things that he didn't mean. He said things that he shouldn't have said. He got himself in trouble. He denied the Lord three times, right? I mean, that tells you a lot about the guy. But look what he says in Matthew 16 and verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Did he get that right? Look at it close. Did he get it right? He got it right. He got it right. He said something right. "Thou art the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God." Peter got it right. Peter made that statement. Now look at John chapter 6. John 6. John 6 and verse 67. John 6, 67. John 6, 67. As so many just left Jesus based upon this amazing dissertation he gave on the bread of life, people are like walking away offended and not understanding what Jesus was saying. He was speaking in the spirit or of the spiritual, and yet they were looking at it as the physical. When Jesus said, you know, when you eat my flesh, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood, he was not saying you do that physically. It's a whole spiritual lesson he was given, and yet so many of them didn't get the spiritual lesson. They only looked at it in the physical aspect. And so in verse 66, "And from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him," just because he gave a spiritual sermon and they didn't get it. "Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Did he get that right?
Amen.
Amen. You know, we can mock Peter and we can pick on Peter and we can say he got a lot of things wrong, but he got a lot of things right also. That's one of them. He knew what he was saying there. Go back to John chapter 1. John 1. The beginning of John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." This is John the Apostle writing these words. Not John the Baptist, but John the Apostle. John the Baptist, we already saw what he said about Jesus, that he was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But now John the Apostle, look what he's writing about Jesus Christ. He says, "You're the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God." What is John saying? This is Jesus Christ. This is God right here. John served the Lord. John walked with the Lord. John talked with the Lord. John saw the Lord. John saw him on the Isle of Patmos during the revelation, and John realized who Jesus Christ was. And he wrote about it and attested to it that this was the creator of the world. Did he believe that? Yeah, he believed it. So that's what John says about it. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Remember, John wrote the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 11. Revelation 1:11. "Saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea." Look what he's saying. I am the Alpha and Omega. That means I am the beginning, I am the ending, I am everything in between. That's what John is writing about Jesus Christ and making it clear that he knew exactly who the Lord Jesus Christ was and is. Look at Matthew. Go back to Matthew 11 again. Matthew 14. Matthew 14. Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse 33. Matthew 14, 33. Matthew 14, 33 says, "Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God." This wasn't one apostle. This was all of them. This was everybody. This is all of the apostles, all of the disciples at once were telling of who Jesus Christ was. Thomas, and I got to move here because of the sake of time. I got a lot more written down. Thomas said this in John 20, 28. "And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God," when the Lord stretched out his arms and saw, Thomas could see the holes, the prints of those nails. Jesus said, "Hey, go ahead, put your finger in these." Thomas didn't have to. He just saw and he believed. Andrew said this in John chapter 1 and verse 41. "He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. Andrew says, "We found him. He's here. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, is here." Again, he was recognizing who Jesus Christ was. Philip says in John 1, 45, "Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael says in John 1, 49, Nathanael answered and said, saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Look at John 3. John chapter 3. "What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" Look at John 3. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Nicodemus was recognizing who Jesus Christ was. Nicodemus, later on, was born again. As soon as Jesus told him how to be born again, he did. The Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 and verse 29, she says this, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" The man that was born blind in John chapter 9 said this in verse 33, "If this man were not of God, he can do nothing." And he restored the sight and gave sight. This man was never able to see, and yet Jesus gave him sight. Martha in John 11, verse 27, she saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." The centurion in Mark chapter 15, verse 39, and when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." The centurion standing there, looking at Jesus Christ suffer on the cross and hearing his word, said, this is him. I believe the centurion became a believer. Amen. That very moment. There was a thief hanging on both sides of Jesus being crucified that same day. And the believing thief says this in Luke 23, 41, "And we indeed justly," we're getting our just rewards, "for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." This man realized, this thief realized that Jesus Christ did nothing wrong. He should not be even hanging on the cross next to him. And that thief trusted Jesus Christ that day as his Lord and Savior. "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Christ recognized his heart and recognized that he was truly repentant of his sin, repentant, changing his life. And he was changing his life and repenting of his life right on the cross as he was dying. What do you think of Christ? What think ye of Christ? Is he your Savior? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Is he your boss? Is he your master? Does he mean everything to you? Or does he mean just very little to you? Does he tell you what to do through his word? Do you obey His word? Some do, some don't. Is He your friend? Is He your companion? Is He your counselor? Is He your guide? Do you care anything about Jesus Christ? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is He? I'm not changing the word of God, but I'd like to just say this in closing. What think ye of Christ? Is He your Lord and Savior? Is He your Lord and Savior? Those of you that are sitting here today, I hope and pray you're saved for your own sake. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I just hope and pray that you are for your eternal sake, for your eternal destiny. This is something that you have to decide. Nobody can decide for you. Are you His servant today? Do you serve Him in every way that He wants you to serve Him? Do you serve Him? What think ye of Christ? Is He, I said a moment ago, is He your Lord? Is He your master? Do you serve Him in a respectful way that when He says, I want you to do this, you do it? When He says, I want you to be in church and stop staying home. I want you to be there where you're supposed to be. I want you to witness. I want you to give. I want you to, I want to have fellowship with you. I want to hear from you. I want you to be reading my word. Do you do those things? Are you obedient to your Lord and Savior? Do you care anything about His church? Remember, He died for the church, shed His blood for the church. Do you care anything about the church? Do you care anything about this book that He wrote? Remember, He's called the Word of God. When I read this and I touch it, I'm reading and touching the very Son of God. I'm holding Him right now to my heart. This is Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you care anything about prayer? Do you care anything about talking to Him? Do you care anything about witnessing? Do you care anything about giving? Do you care about anything of the Lord? What think ye of Christ? So many Christians today call themselves Christians, but they go out of these doors, they go home, and they live their life the way they want to live it for the rest of the week. And if we are blessed, we'll see you next week. That's the attitude of so many. I'll bless you by my presence next week, preacher. Or if I have nothing else better to do, I'll be in church. This is the Lord's church. It's not my church. I could die right now and this church would still continue and go on. It's not based on the preacher. It's based on the Son of God. Amen. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is He? Better think about that today. Father, thank You again for the message. Thank You, Lord, for the scriptures that we looked at. Thank You, Lord, for Your blessings. Bless this invitation time. If there's somebody here in our presence that's not truly born again.